I want to dedicate this this sermon to inveterate talkers with strangers in my family. My wife and daughter just tend to strike these conversations up, and enjoying partaking of the benefits of that and watching how they do it has taught me a lot. You know, scientists have discovered this amazing drug that has no troubling side effects. It's been practiced for years, used for years. So you'd think they would have shown up by now. So that's a good sign. It makes the user feel happy for hours, but it doesn't impair driving or erode their judgment. It doesn't cause water retention, weight gain, insomnia, or depression. Quite the opposite. It's very good for physical and mental health. It even has a good effect on the people around them, lessening social ills from loneliness to political extremism. It isn't covered by any healthcare plan anywhere, but that's okay because it's free. It is called Talking with Strangers. Talk with strangers, and you will hear people say, "You made my day." You might embarrass your family, but only because they haven't worked up the nerve to do it themselves yet. There are reports from people who use this free drug of greater feelings of connection and well-being and happiness. So I wanted to do a kind of how-to, but let's just dive into some of the reasons that it's hard sometimes to talk to strangers, some of the barriers, so we can figure out how to deal with them. One of them is just awkwardness. What if they don't want to engage? There's nothing more embarrassing than making a friendly overture to somebody and having it fall flat. Well, there's a few solutions to this. One is just to know that that very rarely happens. People have researched this. In 12 related experiments with more than 1,800 participants, experimenter Nicholas Epley, who's a professor of behavioral science at the University of Chicago Booth School of Business, learned that people way overestimate the awkwardness that they're going to have. And a lot of what he studied was the difference between shallow and deeper conversations. Some of the experiments gave people different kinds of topics to talk about with strangers. Sometimes people generated their own that they considered sort of everyday. How's the weather? How about those Mets, you know? And deeper conversations, right down to if a crystal ball could tell you the truth about yourself, your life, your future, or anything else, what would you want to know? I'm not suggesting that you know, spring that on the person at the bus stop who you've never seen before. But you might work your way up there. Most people underestimate the degree to which other people are interested in hearing about their personal and deeper thoughts. And Epley knows this because he's experimented and asked people, how did that feel when people ask you these questions or told you these things about themselves? And they were really, really positive. He says, people seem to imagine that revealing something meaningful or important about themselves in conversation would be met with blank stares and silence, only to find this wasn't true. Human beings are deeply social and tend to reciprocate in conversation. If you share something meaningful and important, you're likely to get something meaningful and important exchanged in return, leading to a considerably better conversation. And this is the kind of thing that makes you feel happy for hours after all. Overall, they found that both deep and shallow conversations were less awkward and led to greater feelings of connectedness and enjoyment than people predicted they would before they had the conversations. But the effect is strongest with deep conversations. Another way to forestall your own awkwardness, I find, is just to have an exit strategy. Because I think a lot of the time we're just thinking, well, then what will happen? You know, we know with a close friend, we're gonna talk on the phone for a while, and we're gonna say, well, gotta make dinner, and they'll say, yeah, love you, and you'll say, love you too, very graceful. How are you gonna do that with somebody you've never talked to before? So it's good to have a couple things in your pocket. There's always just smiling and returning to your own thing. You talk to the taxi driver for a little while, and then the conversation seems to peter out, and, you know, you just stare off into space. If you're sitting on a train or a plane, you know, you were in a waiting room, you got a book, you've got a conversation with the friend that you came with. Hate to say, you've always got whatever screen you've got in your pocket. And those will all be just a way of signaling, okay, we're done with this conversation. That's totally fine. I think a related barrier to these conversations for many of us is the fear of getting in for more than we want. For example, a long plane ride. You know, if you pass somebody on the street and you say, ooh, nice hat, right? There's not going to be any interaction at all. They're going to say, thanks. Okay, great. That's wonderful. That's great. It's not really a conversation because, you know, you're going opposite ways and that's not going to happen. And say you're on a bus or a commuter train or something like that, you know, you're probably going to escape this conversation in the next 20 minutes, whatever happens, which, you know, you may regret if it's going well, but at least, you know, in the back of your mind, it's not going to go badly. I think plane rides are one of the places we dread most. I'm going to be sitting next to this person for the next 6 hours. What if we don't enjoy this conversation? So again, knowing how you'll gracefully end it. Well, I better try to get some sleep. Or, you know, whatever you were going to do. Just open your book or start your movie. It's fine. I had a recent experience with this. Actually, a really lovely conversation on the plane with a woman who she kind of started chatting, lowering the barrier right there. I wasn't going to start off right away and tell her I had been in Tucson for a family memorial. That felt pretty heavy. But actually, in the course of a few minutes, she told me something about her care for her sister who had recently lost a spouse. So this felt like the moment to say not just that I had been in Tucson to visit family, but that I'd been there for a memorial service. And so the conversation kind of went deeper and deeper. Just the same, I was nervous after we said goodbye on the plane. Oh God, now I'm gonna run into her at like the bathroom or the coffee shop or baggage claim, and it's gonna be so awkward because we kind of ended it and didn't. But I practiced. So we did meet coming out of the ladies' room, and you know, you've just been on a flight, right? So just smiled, and she smiled too. We both said, hey, we meet again, right? Passed each other in the hall, same thing, just a smile and a wave that time. And it was kind of cool because I felt like all of a sudden I had a friend at SFO, which is not usually the feeling. I think another barrier we have is a fear of bothering people, right? So again, it's good to just know a couple of signs. If this is new to us, we are here in Silicon Valley, here's a primer. If someone's reading, or they're kind of seat dancing to whatever's on their earbuds, don't interrupt them. I mean, you can interrupt them if it's urgent. Like, can you just tell me if this is the bus to so-and-so? Okay, but you know, you're not gonna start up a conversation with them. Understood. But if they put a finger in their book and pause for a moment, that's a good moment to say, I've heard of that book. Do you recommend it? Conversation is underway. If a fairly deep one, possibly. If they say a couple of words or sentences and then smile and open their book again, say thanks and leave them to whatever they're doing. They've given one of our culture's signals for I want to be undisturbed. Putting their earbuds back in, same thing. Okay, that's fine. And also, if you're worried about bothering people, excuse me, this is a good lesson that I've learned traveling to other countries, always speak an intro. Like, in my experience, like in Mexico or in France, you wouldn't walk up to a clerk in a store and just say, hey, I'm looking for it. You always say hello. And so there's that little sense of like just an introduction. Hi, or excuse me before you break in. Really, very, very few people will take this amiss. And speaking of cultures, different nationalities, different ethnicities, even different ages, generations may have different levels of comfort with talking to a stranger. I had the lovely experience of, I mean, I don't think anybody would be offended by this, but when I was last in Mexico, I was in a museum and there was a couple clearly getting their wedding pictures taken. It was just the two of them, but there was a professional photographer and they were dressed to the nines, and one of them had flowers and so on. So I don't think there's any place in the world that that would not, people would not welcome a congratulations in that situation. But this led to a little bit more of a connection. I said, felicidades, and, you know, the bride waved and said, oh, thank you so much. And, you know, we had a brief exchange, which maybe would not have happened elsewhere. But, you know, I had I was 99% sure I'd get a very warm response. And I did. Okay. So you've set aside your fears. You thought, I'm really going to do this thing. How do you do it? How do you start conversations with strangers? You might have noticed, you know, there are different kinds of gatherings of strangers. There's a collection of random people, and then there's people who have something in common. So if you're just in line at the store, you feel pretty random. If you're in line for concert tickets, do people do that anymore? When I was a kid, it was, you know, you get up way early or sleep out to get concert tickets. Anyway, you know, or people who are come to church, right? They have something in common. You're sitting there with a total stranger, but you already know you have something in common. So you can say, hey, you know, what brought you here today? What grabbed your interest? Or you're standing in line. Hey, have you ever seen Ed Sheeran in concert before? Oh, and then you're having a conversation, right? So that already lowers the barrier. And then there are things that can just happen to make that kind of thing occur. Like if you are all on a train, that's just strangers all in one place. If the train comes to a stop and you get an announcement that it might not go anywhere for a couple hours, all of a sudden you're sharing an experience. Like you've already bonded. And now the person next to you might still think, fine, I'm gonna nap, I don't wanna talk to anybody, you know, this is my nightmare, an extra 2 hours with total strangers, then leave them alone. But somebody might say something like, oh my God, I might miss my job interview. Congratulations, you have a conversation going. Not congratulations to them, I hope it goes okay. But you can talk about that. One of the things that I learned from one of the experts in my family is a really good way to get from just stranger, meaningless exchange to real conversation is when somebody says, how are you, actually answer. Right. Now, again, we have that sort of passing, how are you? It's in our culture, very strange to people who come to this country and don't know this already, that how are you doesn't actually always mean a question. It's just a way we say hello and a friendly connection. But as long as the person is not like running because they're late for something, it's totally okay to answer the question. And also as long as you don't unload with your entire life story, right? But so there are lots of alternatives to just, okay, how are you, right? Like just saying, been better, how about you? Might, if they have the time and inclination, invite them to say, sorry you're having a bad day. Then you can take the next step. Yeah, this is what happened. This is how conversations go, a little bit more. All of a sudden, you're really talking about something important. Likewise, when they really answer, if you have the time, see if you can pick up on what they said. Another tip I learned watching other folks do this is just simply taking things to the next level. Like, you get on the bus. I think a lot in terms of transportation. I guess I take a lot of transit, but you know, you're in a waiting room. You're being driven in a taxi. You're sitting in the back row with somebody who's just checking out this church, and so they're sitting in a back row so they can make a quick escape, right? And they say hello, And you can just take it to the next level, go a little deeper by just volunteering a little bit more than they did. Like they say, hey, nice day, and you're kind of panting, and you say, just came in on my bike, right? That already, boom, you're having a conversation. They can say, oh, do you bike here? I didn't know you could do that. And you can tell them a little bit about that. Or they can say, oh, I used to bike a lot. I haven't done it in a long time. I'm not sure why. And again, congratulations. You are having a conversation. You're going to leave that, even if it ends there, you're going to leave that conversation with a completely different feeling than if it was just, hi, how are you? Okay, you? Okay. Now, when you see those barriers go down, like somebody's volunteered something a little more, or, you know, heaven forbid, the train is stuck, you know, there's a couple things you can do. One is just notice. Notice when it happens. Notice that there's a bond and you have this moment. Oh, we have something in common. Let's go for that. And the other is you pick up on what you know you have in common. You're at a protest, okay, so you all have something in common. You tell somebody, if you really like their sign, you tell them, I love your sign, that's really clever or funny, or where did you get that, or whatever, right? And there you go. These are such simple yet powerful things we can do. It is no exaggeration to say, as Gladwell does, I mean, I don't know if Chamberlain and Hitler would have had a nice chat and things would have changed, but it is not an exaggeration to say that a lot of the mistrust and the creation of other people's stories in our own heads without actually checking or knowing creates the very serious problems we're facing today. And conversation is not going to bang, turn it around just like that. But it is a preventative to that kind of demonizing that we may do. You know, like the next door neighbor's a cat. They're terrifying. Little did you know, they don't eat mice. And finally, I have two other things. One, you know, giving compliments is always good. Try to teach children. That's the only kind of personal remark you should ever make to a stranger is a compliment. Love that hat. Love your dress. Not even maybe like, where did you get it? But then if they say, do you like it? I got it at a thrift store. Oh, let's have a conversation about thrift stores. But another thing that never goes wrong alongside compliments is advice. Ask advice, not give it. Ask for it. People love to give advice, you know? And it can be very, very simple. You know, you sit down here at church. Is the coffee good here? So now you know the coffee is not good. And maybe since we're members of a democratically led organization, we can figure out what the problem is and fix that. We've been working on that one a long time. What is so elusive about really good coffee? Anyway, so you now have some information, which they were very happy to volunteer. You could say, hey, it's 15 minutes till the service. Do you know there's a pizza across the street? Let's go run and get some, you know, right? And then you're not only having a conversation, you're on a road trip together, okay? Right, people love to give advice, big and small. So if you want it, then ask for it. This woman who was riding on the plane with me was going to Denver. I had to stop in Denver. So I asked her some things about Denver. Oh, have you lived there a long time? So tell me some things to do next time I'm in Denver. People love that, and I mean, I really wanted to know. Finally, this is really finally, know your science. Again, remember what Epley learned. Blank stares are rare. We fear awkwardness much more than it actually happens. People respond to depth. And just to know that is the biggest how to having these conversations. Now, I said that this prescription does not have unwanted side effects, and it lessens in depression and anxiety and loneliness and angry exchanges. But I left out one warning that I do have to give you. If you prescribe yourself conversations with strangers, you may get addicted.